You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's here, ready to go. We're down a Danette. Might be addition by subtraction. McLovin is on a vacation with his family in Iceland. If there was going to be a perfect place for McLovin's complexion, it would be Iceland. Overcast, cloudy, that fits right in with McLovin. But come on in, stay a while. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up. And as we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Reggie Miller a little bit later on. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, he will stop by as well. Cowboys and Steelers get to open up camp a couple of days earlier because they're going to play in the Hall of Fame game. But that'll be on Wednesday when they open up camp. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle is @DP Show. Say good morning to Peacock, our streaming partners, and also Fox Sports Radio and our other great radio affiliates around the country, numbering nearly 400 cities carrying this program. This show is brought to you by M-Drive Boost and Burn. It's the supplement that helps boost energy, burn fat. Visit mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Colin Morikawa wins the Open Championship, his second major, and he's not even 25. The last player to do that, Tiger. Bucks beat the Suns up 3-2. Game 6 will be on Tuesday night. The U.S. men beat Spain in basketball last night, and everybody ready to go to Tokyo. There's a good chance that earlier in the playoffs, the Bucks wouldn't have won Game 5 of the NBA Finals. They weren't playing well in close games, and you got the feeling they needed to be up by double digits because if the game was close, they would lose. And in large part, that was because the Greek Freak can't shoot free throws. Now, he's gotten better. It's still a problem. But in Game 5, Drew Holiday saved the day, and now Milwaukee leads 3-2. We've seen it before. You get teams that get more confident the longer a series goes on, the deeper you get into the postseason. And Milwaukee, they're usually a team that was not going to get this far, never got this far before. But those mistakes that plagued them in postseason past seem to disappear. That's a big win they had in Phoenix. And now you come home. You haven't lost at home. It's been a couple of months since you last lost there. You can close it out. You're one game away from winning an NBA championship. There are a lot of things that surround a championship run, and you have to have contributions. It can't be just one guy. Because I go back, Jerry West, when he was named the most valuable player, when the Lakers lost to the Celtics, Jerry was unbelievable. He was averaging 40 points a game. He did everything he could possibly do, but it wasn't enough. Because you're facing a Celtic team that had contributions, had a good bench. Yes, they did have Hall of Famers. Milwaukee, having a bench that will contribute, will be a large reason why, if they do win this. Because Phoenix hasn't been able to rely on its bench that much. And if you say Devin Booker is going to give you back-to-back 40-point games and you lose, then you have to start looking at everybody else. I mean, Chris Paul had a nice game. Bad foul at the end on the Greek Freak, but he had a. If you said he's going to have that game in Game 6, you'd probably sign up for. Only had one turnover. Can you get 40 out of Booker again? Where's Ayton? Where's the rest of the bench? Jay Crowder always starts out really strong and then disappears. Bridges, who's coming off the bench to help you? That's really, really important. You got Drew Holiday, who played a great game. You go 27-13, had the big defensive steal against Devin Booker at the end. Chris Middleton has been wonderful. But you've also got contributions from role players there, and that's so important. If you go down through history and watch, you know, some of these performances with great teams, they always had somebody who came in, and like Gerald Henderson with the Celtics. Not a name, but he would contribute. Mario Elie, remember him? Sharpshooter. You just had guys who in that moment, you know, Andre Iguodala wasn't anywhere near one of the great players on Golden State, but he was so good at what he was asked to do, and he won the MVP. You need to have contributions. I don't care what sport it is, team sport, there's always somebody doing something. We talked about Malcolm Butler last week on maybe the greatest defensive play in sports history. Nobody knew Malcolm Butler, but you won't forget Malcolm Butler because of the play against Seattle. If you would have said, hey, you know, the game is going to come down to a play made by Malcolm Butler, you might go, who's he play for? He plays for the Patriots. You have to have those moments. You have to have those players. David Tyree. Nobody knew David Tyree. That's the last catch he ever had in the NFL. And then you have Plaxico Burress scoring the touchdown. If I would have said, hey, Plaxico Burress going to score the game-winning touchdown, you're going to go, oh, okay, so the Giants are going to upset the Patriots. Yeah, but the biggest play will be turned in by David Tyree. You need these individuals who have that moment. Mark Lemke was the second baseman for the Braves, and I think he batted 454 in the World Series. You're just going, wait, who is this? But that's what you had. You had these moments where somebody goes, hey, nobody's expecting me to do anything. I can step up. You know, Pat Connaughton with Milwaukee, just give us 10 or 14 points. You know, that's what you need. And it'll come down to that coming up on Tuesday night in game 6. You know, can Milwaukee do the same? What does Phoenix do differently? And can somebody, you know, contribute the game of their life? And that's probably what it's going to take. Yeah, Paul.
And it kind of feels like Drew Holiday's in that Hall of Good. Remember, we always talked about the Hall of Good. He's been a very good player for a long time. He's, you know, Philly, New Orleans, Milwaukee. He's made one All-Star team. He had a couple 20-point seasons, you know, averaged 20 points. But he's never been a household name. Even his name, how do you spell it? How do you say it? His nickname, by the way, is The Druth. I never knew that. The Druth.
That's a great nickname.
I had no idea.
Great nickname.
Probably the Druth? But he has 27-13 and a steal that will, if they win it, as you said, if they win it, that steal will be remembered forever in Milwaukee.
You can't handle the Druth.
No, you can't.
All right. Who's handling the poll question duty since McLovin's not here? Yeah, Paul.
I think we're all chipping in.
Ooh.
Because it takes three of us to do the poor job that McLovin usually does. A village.
Okay. Who wants to lead off?
All right. This is a weird one. Who are you rooting for? If you were rooting for one of these two teams at this point, Bucks or Suns?
Well, I'm rooting for the Bucks because I said the Bucks would play the Lakers.
So you're rooting for you?
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
I'm always rooting for me. It's like Colin Morikawa at the Open Championships, a wonderful story. I thought he was a great guest and far more mature than his age. But I had picked Jordan Spieth to win the Open Championship. And I didn't want to root against Colin Morikawa. So, you know, it's one of those where you make a prediction. And, you know, I was hoping Jordan Spieth would be able to win. But Colin Morikawa was a wonderful story. So I am rooting for the Bucks just for my own self-interest. What else do you have?
All right, here's one. A future stock. If you could buy stock in one of these athletes, no one's ever done this on radio before, by the way. Stock in an athlete.
I like it.
Just invented it. Enjoy.
Okay.
Future stock.
All right.
Colin Morikawa, 24 years old. Trevor Lawrence, who I think is 22 or 23.
All right.
Shohei Ohtani. And Shohei, you may be buying, you know, it's not low anymore. It's not a low stock.
That's a high stock.
Yeah.
Is that Apple?
It's still going way up.
I would say Shohei Ohtani because there's nothing like him. Colin Morikawa is a really good player. He's got two majors. He's young. He looks good. He sounds good. But you can kind of disappear in the golf world if you don't do anything spectacular. That's why, you know, we get caught up in, you know, hey, look at Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. These guys, they can play football. Meanwhile, you got Colin Morikawa, 5'9", 160. 5'9", 160. Thank you. Yes, Eden.
If Shohei Ohtani is like the Apple stock,
yeah,
then Colin Morikawa is more like GE or something. Like, you buy it and then hold on to it for the next 40 years and it's going to be worth a lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes, Todd?
You're spending a lot on Ohtani stock, and if he continues to be on both sides of the ball, you are risking a serious injury. I know you can get hurt in football and golf. You can throw out your back or whatever, but that's a big risk if they expect him to continue for the years to come, pitch and hit.
Yeah, but I still get... He homered, by the way, yesterday. It just... The upside is huge. There's nothing like him. Trevor Lawrence can be a good quarterback. Is he going to be Mahomes? Is he going to be like one of the elites? I don't know. But I know Ohtani is doing something at a level that we've never seen before. And we want to compare him to Babe Ruth. He's different than Babe Ruth. In fact, in a lot of ways, he's better than Babe Ruth because he's doing both at the same time. And Babe was a wonderful pitcher, then stopped pitching, and then became the best hitter the game has ever seen. Ohtani is one of the best hitters, and he's also one of the best pitchers. And he's the unicorn. Yeah, Paul.
And the other thing that I think, if you're not a big, huge baseball fan, you don't know he's also got speed because he looks like a big dude. You know, like not as big as Cal Ripken, but in that ilk. He had a grounder to first where it kind of jumped up on the first baseman. The first baseman's back. And the first baseman's just going to run and plant his foot. Ohtani ran him to first base, and the first baseman was absolutely shocked. It was great.
He has 12 stolen bases, which may not seem like a lot, but he's a power hitter. Although he does lead off, but, you know, 12 stolen bases, I'm surprised that they let him run as much as they do. But as Joe Maddon, his manager, said last week, look, you know, I'm not out there to protect him. I want him to play. He's young. Let him play. And that's what they're letting him do. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Any other poll question suggestions here?
The last one. All right. I'd want to win the Masters, the U.S. Open, the British Open, the Open Championship, or the PGA. You could only win one for your entire career.
Wait, is this a trick question?
Is it the Masters?
Yes.
I think I'd want to win the British Open. Isn't golf was invented over there?
Yeah. The Masters.
No doubt.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because you like green blazers?
Well, I look good in green.
Yeah, you do.
I do. Yeah. Yeah, see.
I think I more just want to be at the Open Championship.
Oh, yeah.
Winning, not necessarily as important. I just want to be there every year.
Yeah. And by the way, the weather is never like that. Four consecutive days where it looked like you could have been in the United States somewhere. I wanted some rain sideways and some wind and sweaters, rain gear. Like, part of that is why you get up early in the morning. I don't want to get up early in the morning and see these guys playing in beautiful weather.
Because you could tell how windy it is because the dude's clothes are like, you know, like
Flapping in the breeze. Yes, Todd.
So I just wanted to make sure you prefer the green jacket and butler cabin and all that as opposed to holding up the claret jug.
Yes.
That's safe to say.
Yes, I do.
That sounded snarky.
Yes, it did. By the way, did you see where this Bruce Springsteen story took on a life of its own?
Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah. Is it Thunder Road?
Was he at the British Open?
No, but it was lyrics. We always talk about song lyrics, and we get lyrics wrong. You guys didn't hear about this? And it's not a big deal, but it is to Springsteen fans. And it has to do with the lyrics to Thunder Road. And it has to do with the screen door slams, Mary's dress waves, or sways.
I thought sways.
A lot of people say Mary's dress waves, and this went like viral, as the kids like to say. And
after all these years,
yes, like I don't. Somebody posted a picture of Springsteen on Broadway, and then I think they did the lyrics there. You know, the screen door slams, Mary's dress sways, and then everybody's like, "No, it's waves." And I went, "I don't know what." I always thought it was Mary's dress waves. Does a dress wave? Like a flag will wave.
I don't think a dress sways.
But I don't know. This was a big deal over the weekend. And I don't tweet, but I did get caught up in reading everybody else's tweets here. Yes, Tom?
It sways, Dan, like sways in the breeze.
Thank you.
A hand waves.
Thank you, Bruce.
All right. All right. Hope I clear that up. Bring it home now. Y'all go home now.
They should go back and change the lyrics to "He could throw a speedball by you." God, that drives me crazy.
I've been working with you for 20 years, and you've been upset about this since day one.
I have, because this is one of the great wordsmiths that we have in music, in the history of music. Springsteen is one of the greats. And "he could throw that speedball by you, make you look like a fool." Like, no, nobody threw a speedball by you.
Oh, it's "make you look like a schoolboy."
Oh, I thought it was a fool boy.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, I know. Yeah, but a speed. Yes, Todd.
Isn't speedball like something like the college kids do? Like
no,
get
no,
high?
No, I don't think college kids do speedball.
They don't, but isn't that a thing, speedball?
John Belushi may have done a speedball.
Oh, my God.
I know I got it from something.
Yeah, I should have taken a break.
Yep.
Should have taken a break. All right. All right.
Take a break.
Shut up.
Mike Florio and Reggie Miller. In the second and third hour.
Oh, I already missed McLovin.
That's pretty good.
By the way, if you do a limerick, you have to do it as Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
From now on. You got to do limericks in other people's voices.
Wow.
Yes.
What does that say? Either because that's entertaining or my voice has been tired of hearing that after all these years?
Yes.
Both.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back after this. It's 17 after the hour. We'll get to your phone calls. This is the Dan Patrick Show. I always talk about LifeLock, and I know I'm always the bearer of bad news, but it's kind of a scare tactic. Like, I want to get your attention, not scare you, but just alert you, because you have to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. I met somebody on Friday night. They lost their identity. Somebody stole their identity, took this guy 3 years to get his identity back. All that information was out there. He was getting that spam. He was getting phone calls. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. We put so much information out there, you don't even know it. If LifeLock detects your information has potentially been compromised, they send you an alert. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But help protect what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year with the promo code Patrick. You can rest at night, rest assured that you know LifeLock has you covered, has you protected. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com, promo code Patrick for up to 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. The Olympics open up on Friday night on NBC, opening ceremonies in Tokyo. There was a news headline that came across this morning on my screen, and it talked about a U.S. gymnast who was in COVID protocol. And I immediately thought, just make sure it's not Simone Biles. I'd bubble wrap Simone Biles and store her away, let her come out, win a couple of gold medals. It was not her, by the way, but it was an alternate on the U.S. team. But you're kind of holding your breath, what's going on. But Tokyo's on lockdown. For those working there, the Olympics, the Olympians, it is very strict. It's basically going from the hotel to the venue, back to the hotel, and that is it. Everybody is on lockdown there. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Yeah, I brought this up about Bruce Springsteen, Thunder Road. For many years, fans have been torn whether it's Mary's Dress Sways or Mary's Dress Waves. Well, the manager for Bruce Springsteen says it's Sways. As he wrote in his original notebooks, that's the way he sang it on Born to Run in 1975. That is the way he has always sung it at thousands of shows. And that's the way he sings it right now on Broadway. John Landau co-produced Born to Run. So that was the big debate over the weekend. Well, it was a debate over the weekend about Mary's Dress Waves. Can a dress wave? Yes, Paul.
The New Yorker actually reported on this and said the debate was brought to light because Springsteen's own materials that went to like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame had it written both ways. One write-up for the song had ways, and one had sways, and so that started a big debate.
Okay. Jim in Louisiana joins us. Good morning, Jim. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan. I have, when I met my wife back in the early 80s, she told me we were talking about music, and I mentioned I like some of the Eagles songs, and she said, oh, yeah, I really like that one, Life in the Vaseline. And I said, what? Huh? And she said, no. I said, no, it's Life in the Vaseline. She said, well, Vaseline kind of makes sense for what they're singing about. And I said, well,
Wait, but your wife thought it was life in the Vaseline?
Yes. And then you start listening to some of the lyrics, and, well, you know, maybe.
Your wife sounds like she's a lot of fun. Well, thank you, Jim.
We've been doing okay.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jim. Life in the Vaseline. Okay. Did Stone Temple Pilots have flies in the Vaseline?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Paul.
Wasn't there a song by Bush? What was it called?
Glycerine.
Glycerine.
Oh, Glycerine.
Yeah, close.
Yeah, that's all right. Had the reen in there. all right. So best and worst of the weekend. Michael in Phoenix. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind today?
Good morning. It's been a long time. It's been about 5 years. And I got a best and worst for you. I'm a Suns ticket holder, so obviously you know that answer.
Right.
And the best is, or actually, the best and the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I'm a very big IndyCar and Formula One fan. So I'm watching the British Grand Prix, and there's sun stickers on the McLaren cars. And I was trying to figure out why the heck that was. And then I researched it, and there's a gentleman named Jared Nagisi, I believe. And he's a market shareholder with McLaren Sports. And apparently he did it as a good gesture. And then I guess Damian Johnson turned around and took a picture in front of a McLaren race car, street car, in front of the Sun Stadium. So I thought that was quite interesting. And have a great rest of your week. Thank you.
All right, Michael. Thank you.
See you in 5.
See you in 5 years.
Yeah, so I haven't heard from Michael in 5 years.
And, we've been wondering where he was, too.
And something happened at the British Grand Prix, and that's the reason why he called up. The Suns lose, and something happened at the British Grand Prix. Yeah, Paul.
For 5 years, he couldn't think of something worthy enough to bring to the show.
Nope.
He saw those stickers and said,
yep.
Ring up DP.
You know what? It's been 5 years. I think it's time to call Dan Patrick.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Jake in Wisconsin joining us. Hi, Jake.
Oh, man. What up, DP?
Hey, bud.
Dude, what a time to be a Bucs fan. Have you been watching any of these games and seeing the Deer District when they put it on TV?
Yes. Are you working?
Yeah. So that's where I work at now, is I work down there. There's more fans outside than there is inside the arena. There's 25,000 outside and there's 17,000 inside. Every game that they win, they shoot off fireworks. It's awesome. Like, the best place to be right now is the Deer District. It's just so much fun. And then you got Giannis's alley-oop block, and like everybody thinks that's the greatest play ever. And then the very next game, he does this alley-oop dunk over Chris Paul right in front of LeBron James. It's just been... We're on cloud nine right now, having a good time. Lots of beers are being ingested.
How big are the Bucks in comparison to the Packers? Like, how long does this last if they win, and then you got the Packers and Aaron Rodgers maybe in camp next week?
I mean, the high will still be there. The biggest thing is the Milwaukee Bucks are in the city of Milwaukee. The Packers are just the entire state. But when it all comes said and done, it's the Packers rule this state, no matter what. It's always going to be a Packer football state. But, I mean, it's been 50 years. Like, none of us have been alive the last time this happened. So it's going to be a hell of a Tuesday, man. Like, tomorrow's going to be insane. It's going to be fun. I'm going to call in super hungover on Wednesday and not have a voice, and it's just going to be super fun. So,
how's that different than today? You sound like you're hungover today, Jake.
We're still on cloud nine. We got after it this whole weekend. Like, all we did was just party.
Thank you, Jake. We've hung out with Jake before.
Yeah, we saw him once on the road. I actually saw him when I went to a Packer game, and he gets after it, man. He should be like an ambassador.
The mayor, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we were at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yes.
And I didn't know who he was, but he was hanging around as if he was somebody. Like, yeah, everybody knows who I am. And then I was like, who is this guy? And then I might have been McLovin. He goes, that's Jake in Wisconsin. And I go, okay. He had all kinds of bar stamps on his hands, you know? From a couple of weeks prior. Oh, yeah, I didn't get around to cleaning those off. Jeff in Detroit. Good morning, Jeff. What's on your mind? Best and worst of the weekend.
What up, though? One time for Chat Row, two times for the birthday boys, Brent and Seth, up Chat Row. Jet kind of stole my thunder. It was good hearing from him. I'm happy to hear that his team is doing great because, like he said, you will never have a guy to make two pivotal plays in a row like that. The one thing to finish it out, though, they have to go back and finish the job in Milwaukee because dude is not hitting his free throws. Giannis is not hitting his free throws. And I just want to give a shout-out to Chris Middleton. That guy, talk about a silent assassin.
Yeah.
My goodness, every time you need a bucket, he's money in the bank, baby. Have a good one.
All right, thank you, Jeff. C.J. McCollum of the Blazers tweeted out, if the Bucks win, how many votes does Chris Middleton get for MVP? None. I mean, this is all about Giannis. Giannis doesn't make others better the way LeBron does. But, you know, what he's done in the playoffs and how he goes about it, and it's so important. We have moved past the knee injury, and that is a serious knee injury. Or at least it can be a potentially serious knee injury. Remember that? Like, it looked horrible. It doesn't look like he's favoring it. He certainly gets up and down the floor. And when he goes up and down the floor, he certainly goes up when he's going up and down the floor. Big plays, big moments. He's your MVP. I go back to when we thought maybe Phoenix was going to win this, and there were people in the media saying, could you vote for Giannis for MVP if the Bucks would lose? I mean, that's how impressive he's been. You know, if you want to look at Devin Booker, back-to-back 40-point games, okay. It was last Thursday or Friday when I said, in a week, we're going to be talking about either Giannis or Chris Paul. And we don't know if it's going to be Giannis winning a championship or what a Herculean performance, you know, he put up and they lost, or Chris Paul. Is Chris Paul going to win a championship? And there was a moment in the press conference after Game 5 where a reporter asked Devin Booker, who's sitting next to Chris Paul, how frustrated do you feel for Chris Paul? And Devin Booker's looking at him like, this is crazy. Like, I just put up 40 and we lost. I'm frustrated. Like, everybody's worried. Like, Chris Paul get his chance? Do you have that that question here?
Obviously a really tough loss. Devin, how frustrated are you for Chris right now?
Next question, please.
Yes. How about Devin Booker works for the Suns. He doesn't work for Chris Paul. He wants to win a title. How frustrated do you feel for Chris? That's where the writer has, hey, I got this article. And I'm going to be writing about, you know, Chris Paul, and it's frustrating. And, you know, could he once again not win a championship this close and not win a championship? I got to get a quote from Devin Booker. And, you know, rightfully so, they shut down the reporter. Hey, how frustrated do you feel for him? Now, if you want to ask him, how frustrating is this that you guys put up a great performance and you still lose? Maybe you get a quote about that, but you're trying to steer the witness into, can you give me something good on Chris? I'd rather you just say, hey, I don't know how to ask this, but could you give me a quote on Chris Paul and, you know, how frustrating it is to get this close. I got a deadline here in like an hour. I got to write this column. Can you help me here a little bit? You might have a better chance there. Ted in Tampa. Hey, Ted, best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, Dan, good. One of the best is Papa Bay's knee looks like it's right on schedule for healing. He looks great when you see him in town walking around and even jogging over on Davis Island.
Wait. You see Brady jogging?
Yeah, absolutely, on Davis Island.
Okay. And then you see him walking around town in Tampa?
Yeah, he always goes, he and Greg will meet over at the Starbucks over on South Howard. It looks good. But hey, for you, best of the weekend. Pull up on Hulu, search McCartney 321.
Yep.
It's a tremendous documentary.
Rick Rubin, I think, produced that.
Yes, sir. And then on worst of the weekend, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, still there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes!
I'm sorry.
You're becoming my worst of the weekend, Ted.
Yeah. I thought the worst of the weekend was the Suns lost. I'm a huge Devin Booker fan, being from Lexington, Kentucky. And I like seeing the Bucks win because it's a solid, good game. You know, no bad calls from the ref or anything. But I'd rather see the Phoenix Suns win and have Devin Booker get a pelt on his belt there.
All right. Well, thank you, Ted. It's Ted in Tampa. It started out well.
Hello?
Yeah. You there?
You guys still up there?
Hello?
Yeah, 9 to 12 Eastern.
Yeah. It would just be, he'd be like, so anyway, about Aaron Rodgers returning to camp. Hello?
He nailed that.
Yeah, dude, we're listening to you.
He nailed the Starbucks Brady jogging report.
I was surprised Brady would go to Starbucks. I didn't think he, you know, had stuff like that.
You have an ice mocha frap for Tom. You walk up and get it. he does that, really?
No, he probably does Tampa. Who's got the venti skim chai with almond milk?
Okay, we got a feta spinach wrap here for Tom.
Tampa?
Really?
I don't know if I could see Brady going to Starbucks.
I don't see it.
I just don't. Unless he's become a man of the people. And jogging in public? I got to have a second source on Brady jogging here.
Hello?
Ted, take a picture of Brady when he's jogging. Yeah, Paul.
First Take already picked up the story and he credited us.
Yeah. Shefty. Shefty's going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not giving us any credit there. By the way, I was an athlete over the weekend. Probably in a sport that you wouldn't expect me to be in competition. And
is this a sanctioned event that you were in? Or?
Yes, it was. Okay. Yes, it was. Sanctioned event. And, you know, I got my lunch handed to me. But, you know, I went in there with open mind, open heart. I mean, I thought that I might have a chance here. And it didn't work out well. But let me take a break, come back, and I'll tell you about the level of competition that I was up, the sport that I was in, that will probably surprise you. We'll take a break. We got our play of the day coming up next. And hello. Poll question. We'll settle on a poll question. And we'll have our, yes, Tom.
Now, while he was talking, was he expecting you to say every few seconds, uh-huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh, just to prove that you're there and listening?
But I was nodding, like, my head's nodding.
Which is tough on radio.
Talking. I know, but I don't like when somebody goes, yeah. When you're talking to somebody.
It's very annoying. You know, it's almost like they're not listening, but they feel like they have to say that to pretend they're listening.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you're like, how about you just wait till the very end? And then you could go, yeah, uh-huh. Hello? Take a break. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it! Play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
As Guerrero swings at the first pitch, drives it deep left field and gone. Number 31 for Vladdy, and it is 7-0.
Tell you, he is unbelievable.
Courtesy of Sportsnet TV, Vlad's 31 home runs through his team's first 90 games this season, most by any player under the age of 23 in baseball history. Yeah, we've sort of forgotten about Vlad and what he's doing because of Shohei Ohtani. Play of the day brought to you by M-Drive Boost and Burn, supplement that helps boost energy, burn fat. Visit mdrivedan.com Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. All right, I got roped into an athletic event on Saturday morning, and I was with my son.
Like a competition?
Yeah. And it was cornhole. Big cornhole tournament. 34 teams. And had a big scoreboard there. You had a DJ. There was, you know, music pumping through. You had electronic scoreboards here, rules and regulation, like the real deal. Now, I have never played a game of cornhole. I've thrown it, but I've never actually been in a game, and certainly not competition. And these guys come in all shapes and sizes, very creative with their team names. There's a few that had koozies with some beers. I did not. I was sober throughout.
That was going to be my first question, was actually if you were allowed to drink beers whilst playing.
Yeah. Well, they just said, here's a koozie in case you want to have an adult beverage.
You want to hydrate in any particular way.
Yeah. And then I meet a guy who's really good. And we did a practice game with him. And I said, do you drink during this? He goes, well, I'm a Scotch guy, you know, kind of tough to, you know, get Scotch here at 10 in the morning. And he said, but maybe around noon, because I knew he was going to be advancing. And we didn't get to the round robin. We finished 21st out of 34.
All right.
And the top 20 got into the round robin. But, you know, I gave it a go. And but I didn't, you know, guys had their team jerseys. And
oh, is that competitive?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
guys who were on the circuit.
Yeah, there were some big, there are guys that this is what they do, it looks like. And they make it look so easy. Like, you're just going zip, 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 zoop, 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 zoop. You know, there'd be times when I would hit my son in the knee or something. You know, you throw the beanbag and, sorry about that.
Oh, is this a warm-up for the Olympics?
Like, no. This might be a one and done. Might be one and done. Yes, Eden.
So there's rules officials around? Is there like a ref you per kinda, match?
No,
or is
no.
it just a gentleman's?
Yes. You police yourself.
Okay.
That's what it is. Yes, Tom?
Is there a big trophy, financial reward, other than someone saying, wow, you're really good at cornhole?
No, I think there's some kind of financial reward. I know the previous year it was $3,000 for the winner. And yet people came from New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania. You know, like, it was real. It was a big deal. But they had the music there, and we lost 21-2 one time. We won two, we lost two. But I just didn't want to get shut out. Yeah, see.
Did you have a team name?
I think we were Chuck and Awe or something. I don't know.
Like an oyster reference?
I don't, but you know, a lot of people played off of cornhole. And there was one team name called The Wrong Hole.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Got it.
There was, we wanted to be Corn Hub. We thought that that went.
Okay.
My son said, you know, why didn't we use Corn Hub?
That's a deep cut reference.
Yes, it is. And my wife came up with the team name and submitted it. And then we started seeing all these names. And then we're like, we're so white bread square here.
Shuck
like,
and awe.
Yeah, shuck and awe.
If it was Corn Hub, you guys would be Corn Stars.
Yes. But it was good. It was festive, fun, good people, and they take their cornhole very, very seriously. Yes, Paul.
I played a game this weekend. I've seen it before, but never participated. It's, you take a stick and put it in the ground. The stick's probably about 4 feet high. You put a can of beer on it that's about 80% empty, and then you have frisbees, and you try to hit the stick with the frisbee, and when the beer falls, the other guy has to catch it. And it's somewhat complex when you first start playing it, but man, it's tough. I don't know what it's called, but it's a stick, almost an empty can of beer and frisbees, and you have two guys on each side throwing. It's pretty fun. I have no idea what the name is. I stunk at it.
But is it a drinking game?
Yeah. Well, you're drinking whilst doing it. You have to have a beer in your opposite hand.
Yeah, I don't like drinking games.
You don't like drink because of the results of the event, but you pretty much have to have your offhand should have a drink in it.
Yeah, because I've played, you know, guys who go, hey, we're going to play, what is it, cups or quarters? And I go, I don't need a drinking game to drink. And they'll be like, you know, all right, get somebody else in here. Yes, Tom?
You were like some beer pong champ back in your dating days? That wasn't your thing.
No, we didn't have beer pong back then. We didn't have drinking games back then. We were men. You just drank. You didn't have to have, now you chug. Have you ever played a drinking game, Todd?
I have not.
Okay.
You know, maybe if there was like, you know, Hawaiian Punch involved or high C, I'd be all over it. But
if there was a woman involved, then you
I would absolutely be all in.
Because I've witnessed that firsthand.
I've been known to be influenced by an attractive woman to do things that would normally be out of my comfort zone.
When we went to Dallas and we're at dinner, and I think the woman across from you, very attractive, said, would you drink an entire beer? And you did.
If she told me to snort some coke, I may have at least considered that. Ultimately, I wouldn't have.
Two references this hour.
You referenced ultimately, heroin and I wouldn't cocaine. Have.
Well, we're talking about Vaseline and Cornhub and everything else. Why can't I get mine in?
Vaseline. So creepy how you say it.
Vaseline.
Vaseline.
Paul in Iowa. Paul, best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, Dan. Horns down.
Okay.
Are you there? Hello?
Yeah. Dan? Yep. Still here, Paul.
Still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, best of the weekend, quick, is we're just getting a great final series. But the worst of the week is the Big 12, again, is just looks so sensitive, and that it's the big schools and the rest. As an Iowa State fan, I'm used to being in a conference that's run by Oklahoma and Texas, but this is worse. We're going to have, as Baker Mayfield put it, zebras protecting Longhorns on the field, which is the only time I'll agree with Baker Mayfield. But, I mean, do Miami players get the U thrown at them and that's a penalty? Or even in conference, how about the Baylor Bears sick them? That's a hand gesture. Is that going to be penalized if used against them? No, it's just Texas because they're so sensitive that they're never going to be relevant again in college football.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
So if you're in the Big 12 and you do the Longhorns down sign,
Horns down.
You could do it to the crowd. You can't do it to a player like you're taunting him and looking for trouble. So if you are, let's say you're on Oklahoma's team and you put up horns down, I think you could do it to the crowd still.
West Virginia's gotten dinged a couple times for the horns down thing to the crowd. And yeah, for some reason, the Big 12, it's so obvious, like blatant favoritism towards one school. And year over year, they just keep doubling down on it. It's like...
You know what? If you're going to go back to where Texas was when Texas was really good, then you don't have to worry about that. Yeah. If you continue to put out a substandard product, then you're probably worried. Hey, Oklahoma's going to rub it in against us. Yeah. How about you get better, then you don't have to worry about somebody taunting you. And if you do, use it as motivation here. But yeah, I saw that story and I go, God, they make this worse. They make it bigger. Hey, stop doing that. Okay. All right, did we settle on a poll question? I know we had a lot of suggestions here.
I think we had the future stock.
Oh, okay. So Colin Morikawa, Trevor Lawrence, Shohei Ohtani.
Or other.
Other. Who would be other?
Hello?
y'all there? Y'all there?
Cowboys and the Steelers open up camp on Wednesday. We'll check in with Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. More phone calls coming up. Reggie Miller will join us in the final hour of the show. 1 hour in the books, two more to go. Dan Patrick Show. One more item. We close out first hour. One of our new partners, Stiefel, Stiefel. This past year brought a lot of change to our lives. And for some of you, that meant changing jobs. Maybe you're considering retirement. And if that's your situation, you probably have a lot of questions on your mind. Who should handle your retirement accounts? Do you have enough money to retire? Is your portfolio invested appropriately? Retirement's a big step. And when it comes to investing for retirement, most people can't afford to make mistakes. Stiefel's been helping clients like you manage investments for over 130 years. A Stiefel financial advisor can help you create a personalized retirement plan. Understand your options for like claiming Social Security. Implement an investment portfolio designed around your needs. Plus, Stiefel clients have access to Stiefel's award-winning equity research and investment strategy. You're going to make informed decisions. Find your Stiefel financial advisor at Stiefel.com, Stiefel.com. Stiefel Nicholas & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.